Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Vehiculo Etymology Department here at Car Talk Plaza. Sounds like some kind of an illness.
You may remember that a couple of weeks ago, we were discussing new words.
Remember that? Yeah.
New words that were created by combining existing words to meet an unmet need for expression.
Yes.
For example, one of the best ones was snotsicle. No explanation is necessary. You know exactly what that is.
Yes,
and whoever came up with that one is brilliant. Well, some of our listeners came up with some of their own, having to do specifically with cars. There was some guy named Bill. He came up with autolingerer. An autolingerer is a husband who stretches out the weekend errands so he can listen to the entire Car Talk show on his car radio.
Not bad.
Cynthia Beebe came up with carcophony. Isn't that good already?
Carcophony. It's
the raucous and irrepressible racket when Click and Clack start to laugh on Car Talk.
Well, someone named Kit from Bakersfield suggested carbecue.
I like it already, see?
A cooked car, right?
A cooked car.
And it is a couple we found that there's a site called witwords.com. This is, again, this, how we didn't come up with this, I don't know. Fartvergnügen. It's the act of releasing gas in a small German automobile.
How about fratulence? The tendency of brothers to encourage one another in vulgar behavior. Fratulence.
We would never do this.
No.
I like this with too. A stoptional. It's a traffic stop sign that you choose not to obey.
Stop.
Well, you can or you cannot. It depends on the conditions. It's stoptional.
Here's one. It took me a second to get this one because it looks so much like navigate, but it's negavate.
Oh, negavate.
One who incessantly assists with directions in an overly critical manner.
Well, that's a negavator.
A negavator.
And these are two from our staff because they're always working. They're working very hard.
Yeah.
Guilt casting. And that's endlessly reminding you that the radio station you're listening to requires donations to stay in business.
And I liked automatopoeia.
Yes.
Automatopoeia.
Automatopoeia.
Trying to make the noise your car makes so you can get on Car Talk.
Well, look, if you have a question about your car or any suggestions for new words that we might incorporate into the show, because we're always looking for things to help us out, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. How are you? This is Vanessa Nagel calling from Middletown, Connecticut.
Hi, Vanessa.
Middletown, Connecticut. How well I know it.
How's that?
I went to Wesleyan University.
That's right next door.
Well, for an hour.
Are you a student, Vanessa?
No, I'm not a student.
Okay.
Nope. I've done my share of studying. I'm done.
Good for you.
You're done. Well, you sound youthful.
Then why are you in Middletown, Connecticut, which, according to people I know, has nothing? Yeah. I mean, did you move there from somewhere else?
I moved there from Manchester, Connecticut.
Oh, that explains a lot. Okay,
I give up. What's up, Vanessa?
Well, I'm calling about my beloved 93 Pontiac Sunbird.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, when I am shifting into a new gear, when it's at the low RPMs of the new gear, right when I shift in, there's a rattle, and it does like a like a high-pitched rattle, kind of like that.
Is it a tinny rattle? Like, does it sound like a
a paper clip in a coffee can rattling around?
Kind of, yes. And it doesn't continue. It's for like a second or two at the most.
And I bet you, if you checked, you would find it at the same RPM whether you were in second gear, third gear, fourth gear.
Yes.
So if it were occurring at like 2,900 RPM.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you sure of that answer, Vanessa? Because that puts us on a completely different tack.
Not me. Well, not me,
not you,
baby.
But me, baby.
Not me. Well, I don't have any idea what it is, so it isn't putting me on a different track. No. Without exaggeration, we've answered this question 25,000 times. You have a loose heat shield.
A heat shield, okay.
On your exhaust system.
Aha.
It's possible that one of the heat shield welds is broken, and what you're hearing when you hit a certain RPM is what's called a sympathetic vibration.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And this thing is going, and then if you give it more gas or less gas, it goes away immediately.
Correct.
If the vibration had any sympathy, it would stop doing this.
It would. But you're going to have to make it stop by taking it into your shop.
Okay.
And take the person around for a ride.
Okay.
And make it make the noise, and they'll know immediately what it is.
If it happens that you discovered that it's not true that you what you just said to my brother, that it happens at the same RPM every time.
Yeah. You think she'd lie?
She said she thought so. But I'm sure that she never really consciously thought of it before. If you find out that it's happening at different RPMs,
sure,
depending on what gear you're in, it's possible that your timing is off.
Oh, okay.
And I would ask you to try climbing a hill with the car, but there aren't any hills anywhere near Middletown that I know of.
Yes, there are. So I live on a hill.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Do you notice that it's worse coming up the hill?
I can't say that. I'll have to check.
You have to
see. She can't say that, but you'll notice she did say it occurred at the same RPM, no matter what gear she was in.
In which case, my brother is right, and it's the heat shield.
All right.
See you, Vanessa.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for
okay.
your call.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK, as I said earlier, 888-2-278-255.
I got it.
Or 255, so I don't confuse anyone. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey, my name's Eddie. I'm from Tilton, New Hampshire.
T-I-L-T-I-N, like the Tilton Hilton?
No, like T-I-L-T-O-N.
Oh, okay.
And what I have is a 1985 Ford F-150 pickup.
You didn't have to tell us you had a pickup. You said you were from New Hampshire. All you had to say is Ford, and we didn't know.
Oh, okay. Well, it will start and run fine. And then the next day I get in it, and I turn the key, and I get nothing. I mean, I'm lucky to get a battery light sign come on, or it's like the battery's gone.
Yeah.
I checked the battery, and it wasn't in the greatest of shape, and I put a new battery in, and the same thing. It would start and run fine, and a couple days later, nothing. So I cleaned all the terminals, the hookups, as far as I could find, you know, to the starter, to the ground, to the solenoid. I even took the solenoid out and had that tested, and a mechanic told me that it was good, and I put it back in. And cleaned those terminals and the ground to the firewall and all, and put that back in. And again, it wouldn't start.
You turn the key and nothing happens.
That's right.
But sometimes the lights on the dash light up.
Just one light, the brake light.
Does anything else work? Have you tried the wipers, the lights, the radio?
They all work.
And then how do you get it started when that happens?
I jump it from the positive terminal of the battery to the positive side of the solenoid with a jumper cable. And it turns right over and starts up.
Okay, so we know that the battery's good.
Oh, so the battery's fine.
The starter is good.
Yep.
We know the alternator's good.
And that's why you replace the solenoid. Good thinking, Fast Eddie.
This is an automatic transmission truck?
Yes, it is.
How did I know that?
I know how you knew that.
How did you know that?
Let me just make sure that it doesn't click, it doesn't do anything.
Well, when I have the older battery in there and I would start it, the solenoid starter would click away. And then it would start.
Okay, yeah. But now when it doesn't start, you hear nothing. Is that true?
True.
Then my brother's right.
You have an automatic transmission.
You have an automatic transmission.
Well, what all automatic transmissions have is something called a neutral safety switch.
Neutral lockout on the collar.
Which prevents you from starting the car in any gear other than park or neutral.
Yes.
Except yours has a unique feature. It's preventing you from starting it, period.
Have you ever put it into neutral to try to start it?
And jiggled the shifter.
It gets locked.
No, but when you turn the key to the on position,
it's
unlocked. And then you should be able to move the shifter to neutral.
Oh, into neutral.
Into neutral.
And then try it, and I've done that, and I still get nothing.
Did you bang the dashboard? Did you kick the seats?
No, I've been very nice to this truck. I have not kicked it.
It sounds like a classic case of a neutral safety switch, because you're simply not getting juice from the battery to the starter. The solenoid was a possibility, a good possibility. But if you replace that and it's still doing the same thing.
But you jump it and you tested it.
Right.
Yeah.
What you've got to determine now is when you turn the key to the crank position, if juice is getting to the skinny wire on the solenoid, if the solenoid is getting energized.
Because it's either, in this case, the neutral safety switch or the ignition switch itself.
Okay.
But it's the neutral safety switch, I believe.
But if I get power to the solenoid, to that thin wire...
When you're in the crank mode, then...
When I have the key turned over.
That means it's not the ignition switch.
And it's not the neutral safety switch. And in that case, it's the solenoid.
It's the solenoid.
Yeah, the solenoid only costs $7. You might as well try one of those first.
All right, maybe I'll
Or if you really trust yourself, you can bypass the neutral safety
switch. It's a very dangerous thing to do. But in New Hampshire, you'll find anyone to do that for you. I shouldn't have said that. That was cruel
that
and
was
unwarranted.
Cruel. It wasn't unwarranted, but it was cruel.
See you, Eddie.
Okay, guys.
Hey, good luck, Eddie.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Stefan from Brooklyn.
Stefan.
Yeah.
Stefan.
What's up, man?
I'm calling because my car, which is the chief car for my business, which is the Unemployed Philosophers Guild.
Yeah.
It has a peculiar problem.
What kind of a car is it?
It's a Volkswagen Golf.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it actually used to cause tremendous amounts of grief. It would break down constantly. And I discovered a temporary solution to the problem, which is that I'd be driving along and suddenly black smoke would come out the back and it would stall. And then when I would pull the heat sensor out, it would start up and it would run perfectly without the heat sensor in.
What heat sensor? The coolant temp sensor?
Yeah, the coolant temperature sensor.
The thing under the hood.
Right. So I'd pull that out, and then the car starts to run fine. And then every once in a while, as I'd be cruising down the highway, it would stall. And then what I do is I leave the car in gear, and I turn the engine off. And so it would just sort of coast with it in gear.
Yeah, I got it.
And then when I turn the engine back on, it runs fine. And it'll run fine for 15, 20 more minutes. And then I'll have to repeat this process. So I wonder if I'm destroying my car by doing this.
I often wonder how people come across these little tricks.
Yeah, whatever made you pull off the coolant temp sensor wire? I mean, why not some other wire?
It seemed obvious.
It seemed obvious.
I can't explain it, but it
Stefan,
just seemed
Stefan, you
clear
may be a
day.
Genius.
Stefan, someone with your ability shouldn't be unemployed.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, you haven't considered replacing this coolant temp sensor.
I have. I've replaced it, and there was no difference.
Yeah.
So it isn't the coolant temperature sensor. And I brought it into Volkswagen on three separate occasions. And though when I got the car back, it was fixed for maybe a couple of days, it always reverted.
Yeah. See, my theory on this is that whenever someone comes up with this strange little cures, temporary cures like this one, like the ones you came up with, either the person is a genius or a complete wacko.
And right now, you're right on the fence.
I'm leaning toward wacko now. Although I admit, I started out thinking you were a genius.
Well, there's a very fine line.
There is.
There really is.
There may not be any line.
Right. You may have crossed back and forth three or four times already.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Because I don't think either one of these things that you do has any bearing on the problem.
Oh, you're absolutely wrong. You're entirely incorrect.
Well, I mean, I don't know about the stopping the thing in gear. I can't figure that out. Pulling the coolant temp sensor wire may have something to do with something, but it may be forcing the computer to go back into some limp-in mode, which is more likely to be correct than the run mode. Okay, you need someone to...
Yeah, I think that that's right.
I think that that's... Thank you.
I have a theory as to why turning the car off.
I knew you would.
My feeling is the problem is that there's a... The gas flow is incorrect, and when I pull the coolant sensor, it changes the mix of the gas.
That's right.
Well,
that's because
true.
It puts the computer into the limp home mode.
Okay, but then when it stalls, suddenly it's burning too rich, and the engine is flooded.
Yeah.
And by leaving the engine on with the car off, it somehow cleans out the cylinders.
Okay.
You think that that's right?
Not really.
No, but, I mean, you've clearly done some thinking about this.
You have done some thinking.
And it's not bad thinking, I have to say. It's not completely wacko. Not. You have to admit, it's not completely wacko.
I want to work my way back to genius.
Well, you're still on the line.
I think you have a bad thermostat.
But that's the one that I changed already.
No, you changed the coolant temp sensor.
Oh.
Oh.
The thermostat is the thing that actually controls the temperature, and the thing that you change simply measures what the temperature is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Could it be a ground wire?
It could be a ground wire. You know, there are a bunch of little grounds that connect to the cylinder head.
Yeah.
Any one of those can call it, cause, if it's making a bad connection, can cause a thing to run lousy.
Yeah.
But you could change, you could clean those ground wires.
Okay.
You can change the thermostat, or you can have it checked to see if, in fact, the thermostat is really opening at the right temperature. And when that doesn't work, I think the problem may be in your computer.
Yeah.
But you have to go to a different Volkswagen dealer. And I would recommend that you don't tell them anything about yourself when you go in. Yeah. Or what you've
They're
done
just
to
taking
it.
Advantage of me.
Well, no, it's always bad to tell them what you've done so far.
And don't mention your theories to them either.
No, because right
away. Let them figure it out right from scratch.
Yeah, we have a little code that we use at our shop. And when someone fills out a repair order, there are all kinds of little boxes like who filled out the repair order, when promised, time promised. And there's another little box that has no label. But we have various codes, and one is we use a W for wacko. When we have someone that's a wacko, we put a W in that box because no matter what you explain to them, they're not going to believe it. So you may be getting the W code.
I never gave that one any thought.
See you, Stefan.
Thank you.
Hey, good luck, man.
Thanks.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's time to discuss the answer to last week's puzzler.
Yeah, last week's puzzler.
I'll tell you what. I'll bet you $100 you didn't get the answer.
Yeah? You're on, Piston Puss. 100 smackaroos.
$100, okay. What was it?
I said I got it. I didn't say I remembered it.
Can't trust this guy. Can't trust
him. I ain't paying.
Well, we'll be back with more of your calls and the answer to last week's puzzler in just a minute, so don't go anywhere. I need a car that a guy could write a song about.
And even though our children petition the courts to change their last names to Pajoli whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a teacher with a class of really rotten students you want to punish.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And here goes.
Go ahead.
2 weeks ago, Tommy and I had just finished the show, and we're leaving Car Talk Plaza, and as we're walking by the official NPR-sanctioned vending machines in the lobby, you know, the ones with the granola bars, carrot juice, free-range chocolate and all that,
yeah.
I had a hankering for a candy bar. I reached into my pocket, and luckily I had a dollar bill. But as I approach the machine with my crisp dollar bill, I notice the thing says exact change, only, you know, that flashing little red sign. The candy bar I want is 95 cents. And you'd think the machine would take the dollar and just keep the change, but it won't. You know, the reason they won't do that is it leads to too much retribution when people don't get their nickel back.
Oh, yeah, they don't get the nickel back. And after a while, the machine owes one guy a buck. And he's going to get it.
Indeed. So anyway, I turn to Tommy and I say, can you break a dollar? And he reaches into his pocket and he says, let me see here. I have 6 coins. And in fact, the 6 coins add up to $1.15.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure I can give you change, but wait a minute. I can't give you change for a dollar. And I say, oh, you can't. Well, can you make change for half a dollar? Tommy says, no. Can you make change for a quarter? No, I can't do that either. How about a dime? No, no luck. Can you make change for a nickel? No. So I say, can you just buy me the candy bar? And he says, no, I can't do that either. I can't buy you the candy bar either. I don't have the 95 cents to put into the machine that'll get you the candy bar. And I say, what kind of useless brother are you? But the question is, what were the 6 coins in Tommy's pocket? And before anyone gets his tights in a bunch... I just want to make sure that everyone
they're
is
all American coins?
They're all American coins, yes.
Okay.
Currently in circulation, no subway tokens.
Okay.
And you need to know that vending machines do not take 50-cent pieces.
Oh, that's...
Okay.
So I can have $1.15. I have two half dollars.
I said, can you buy me the candy bar? And he says, no, I can't, because he can't. He has a 50-cent piece, a quarter, and four dimes.
Oh, boy.
And you can't make change for a quarter?
I can't make change for a quarter?
You can't make change for a dollar?
No,
you can't
I
make
can't.
Change for a nickel or a dime or 25 cents?
Oh.
And I did check several. I will admit, I haven't checked every vending machine on the planet, but I did check several. And none of them would take 50 cents.
Yeah. You're right. Most machines that I've played with.
What do you mean played with?
I will give you a little hint, though. They will take 50 cents if you turn them upside down.
So who's our winner?
The winner this week is Neil Lutzky from Northfield, Minnesota. And for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Neil is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which he can get one of our indentation specials.
What's that?
Well, we always get returns with indentations in them after the holidays.
Really? That's weird. What's that about?
Not really. I mean, usually a guy gives his wife or girlfriend a CarTalk CD or something. She takes one look at it and hits him over the head with it.
Oh, I get it. Then he sends it back with the indentation in it.
Exactly. It's often curved like a forehead, but it's still playable.
Of course. Well, congratulations for being this week's Puzzler Winner, Neil. If you didn't win, have no fear. A new puzzler is on the way coming up later on in the show, so sit tight. I don't know what to call this puzzler, but maybe...
Is it part of the Prisoner series?
No. Maybe this should be the regression to the mean, or rather a return to bogosity.
Oh!
Or yeah. Mediocrity. Anyway, if you'd like, you can give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Jim in Dallas.
Jim in Dallas. How you doing, Jim?
How are things in Dallas? I was looking in the paper just the other day, and, you know, it has the temperatures of all the cities. Dallas is one of the few places in the entire country where the temperature was pretty good.
Cold by our standard.
Well, it was in the 60s.
Cold in the morning, though.
Yeah, well, let us tell you about it.
Yeah. Try to tough it out, Jim. Suck it up, man. It's been like 3 degrees here.
If you were real men, you'd be up here toughing it out.
Freezing like the rest of us.
Like the rest of us jerks up here.
But the heat you wouldn't be able to handle.
No, we can't.
Well,
it'd melt.
So what's going on, Jim?
I have a 92 Infiniti G20.
Yeah.
And the right front transaxle is broken.
The axle is broken.
Yeah. And from what I can tell, the ill effect of this is it clicks when I turn.
Oh, it isn't broken
isn't
yet.
Broken.
It's about to break.
It's about to break.
Yeah. Right. If it were broken, you wouldn't be able to move the car.
Well, the service people tell me I need to replace it.
Yeah. Okay.
And I've been driving a long time like this, and I just wonder if I'm going to kill myself if I keep driving the car like this.
You could, yeah.
I could.
Yeah. No, you won't kill yourself.
When he takes that left turn trying to beat the semi... And the thing breaks, he's going to kill himself.
Oh, the semi hits him broadside?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
that's the one scenario where I suppose. But you was likely to be killed if your fuel pump conked out in that turn.
Sure.
Or your ignition stopped working. I mean, there are many ways you can kill yourself.
Yeah, I mean, what could happen, what will happen sooner or later, is the car will stop moving. And it will happen whenever it feels like it.
Yeah, that's not good.
It could happen on the freeway. It could happen taking the left turn in front of the semi. It could happen when you're crossing those railroad tracks. It could happen.
That would be tough.
Those trains
in Texas go fast,
ooh,
too,
yeah.
And they don't stop.
So, yeah, you should. Why are you being so cheap?
It's like $700.
It is?
For one axle?
You know.
Oh, no. That
foreign
can't.
Car, I guess. I don't know.
No.
That's way too much.
It is.
It should be more like three.
So find a better service shop and bite the bullet and make the repair?
Yeah, just do it.
Yeah,
because, why break down? You're going to have to do it sooner or later. So you might as well do it and not have the... unless you like the excitement of saying, I could die any minute. Some
okay.
people like that.
Not me.
First of all, they're probably putting in or going to put in or hoping to put in a brand new axle. You could be happy with one that were, like, rebuilt.
Sure.
Sure.
Go to your neighborhood service station and ask them how much it would be to put a rebuilt axle in. And I'm willing to bet for $701, you can get two axles.
Sure. It's going to be $329 for the right side and
$329 for the left.
$61 for the right other side. Good luck, James.
Thank you.
See you later. Bye-bye. Thanks for calling. Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
What's up, guys?
Who knows?
Not much. Who's this?
This is Megan.
Hi, Megan.
Hi, I'm in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
Okay. What's up, Megan?
Well, I drive a 92 Geo Prism, and this little baby has 230,000 miles on it.
Good for you.
Thank you. And I'm in the market for a new car, and I'm hoping with this magical new car I can snag a new guy.
Oh.
So I'm here seeking your advice.
Oh. So what's more important, the car or the guy?
For my business, the car.
What's more important, your business or you? Yeah, isn't that a good
question? How desperate are you?
How desperate for a new car?
No, forget the car.
When you say a new guy, did you say new guy?
Yeah.
Was there another guy?
Yeah.
An ex?
Yes.
Yeah. Boyfriend or husband?
Boyfriend.
Ooh. Oh, boyfriend.
Yes. Yeah. So were you the dumpy or the dumper?
I was the dumper.
Okay.
Okay, so now you're looking for a new guy.
To go along with my new car.
Well, the kind of guy you're looking for will help us determine what kind of car you should get, I think.
Okay.
Or the kind of guy that you dumped.
Yeah, tell us about him first.
Tell us about him.
Okay, well, he and I were longtime friends, and we were both opera singers, so kind of with the business, the way that it works, you know, it's not very good to date somebody that is in competition with you.
He wasn't one of those... What's that word for that strange tenor?
A countertenor?
Countertenor. Oh, what is that all about?
That.
I mean, what's that all about? Can you tell me, Megan?
That's it, right there. That is what it's about.
That's what it's about, huh?
Now we know why you dumped us, so we can move right along.
Okay. You're looking for a basso profundo now. Am I right?
That is right.
There we go.
So are you looking for a basso profundo?
You know what? I am looking for just about anybody out there. I am not particular. Yeah, I drive a Geo Prism. I am not a particular person.
But you're looking for a guy that would drive a BMW or somebody that would be driving perhaps
a pickup truck.
Exactly.
Tough decision. I think I'd have to go with a pickup truck.
You would?
Well, I want somebody who's kind of laid back and...
down to earth.
Yeah.
How about if you had to choose between a guy who was driving an F-150 Ford pickup truck.
A real manly pickup truck.
And a Subaru Baja. What would your choice then be?
The pickup truck?
Really?
Yes.
Well, you know, I think you're looking for a cowboy.
Oh.
Ooh.
I think
she's in Oklahoma City.
You're in the right place.
I am in the right place.
I think you should start hanging out at the rodeo. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and I think if you're gonna snag a cowboy, you've got to become
a cowgirl.
A cowgirl.
Uh oh.
Yeah.
Can you sing country western stuff?
No, I haven't tried.
Have you been to any country western kinds of bars out in Oklahoma City?
Yes, I have.
And you haven't met Mr. Wonderful there?
No.
Have you espied him somewhere in the crowd?
Aha!
Well, now we're getting down to business.
Megan, I can see you driving a little Ford Ranger pickup truck.
Okay, so she buys a Ford Ranger.
And she starts hanging out at these sleazy bars where the guys are out there throwing up in their boots. And you'll meet the guy of your dreams, I'm sure.
Wow.
Jeez.
Well, I was looking at the Lexus RX 330, but I'm not going to do it unless they give me a good deal on my trade-in.
They're going to give you nothing.
They're going to give you 85 cents for this thing. It's got 4 million miles on it. It's 112 years old.
Forget about it. You'll be lucky to get $50 if you sell it straight away.
Aww.
Oh, man. I mean, maybe we can use the Prism to find a boyfriend.
No, I don't think so. I think Megan needs a new car, and I think her new car is going to show that she's moved on.
Yeah, well, yeah. I guess that's true.
And I could see you driving. Here's the car. I got the car for you.
Okay.
I've got it. I've
Go
got
ahead.
It. I got it. I just can't remember the name of it. No. The Jeep Liberty.
Ah.
That's the car. That's it.
Okay.
You know, it's not like by having a big pickup truck. It's you.
Right.
You may not know it, but when you look at this thing, I guarantee you, you're going to say, this is cute. It is. It's very cute.
And Liberty means freedom.
And it's exactly.
That's good.
And the Cowboys are going to like it.
The Cowboys are going to love it. And then all you're going to have to do is go to some of these country western bars, and when they see you getting into your Liberty, that's it.
Yeah. Just hang around in the parking lot, look for somebody who isn't throwing up on his boots. See you, Megan.
I wish you the very best.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Good luck.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
She made my day.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Dan in Chicago.
Hi, Dan in Chicago. What's cooking, man?
I got a 92 Toyota Tercel, and last summer I came out of work late one night. It was on the other side of the parking lot all alone. Overhead lights were shining on it through the haze, just like it might be in a TV commercial, right? I'm looking at it, and I looked at the curve and the line of the car, and I thought to myself, that car needs a fin. And
a fin, you know? The car is rather round.
Yeah, so a couple weeks ago I finally got around to making one. I put this dorsal fin up on top of the car.
Oh, on top!
On the roof.
And so now I'm wondering whether I've adversely affected the aerodynamic stability of my vehicle.
Adversely? I think you've enhanced.
Well, I'm hoping I've enhanced the resale value.
Well,
now how did you affix this this fin?
Well, I sculpted it out of foam, but I welded up a steel armature for it. So the base of it is 2-inch wide, 3/16 flat stock, and then I...
Which you welded to the roof of the car?
I was going to weld it, but actually what I did is I just siliconed it, you know, silicone sealant all along the bottom and shot it in with self-tapping sheet metal screws.
Sheet metal screws? It doesn't leak?
Who cares?
Well, I put a lot... I really smooshed it up with silicone.
Jeez,
How big is this thing? Like a foot tall?
It's about 2 feet tall and about 2 feet long.
Oh, man! Good
really?
For you, Dan.
What do your friends think about
this?
They
don't screen these calls.
they all think I'm nuts, but it makes me laugh, so, you know.
Well, you know, we have a friend who otherwise seems like a sane guy, Mark.
Oh, yeah, Mark Nichols.
Mark Nichols, the world's greatest industrial designer. And every Christmas, he drives around with a lit Christmas tree on the roof of his car. For weeks and weeks.
Right, he's got a 7,500-watt generator in the trunk running full-time.
I mean,
there's no... He's nuts. I mean, what else can you say? So you, now that you have this thing, you'll be able to outfit it with lights. I can see a little string of lights.
Yeah.
Can you see that? Can you see that, Dan? A little string of lights every couple of inches, like Christmas tree
lights.
Well,
no. You know what I see?
What?
I see neon.
Oh.
Do you see purple neon?
Oh, yeah.
The outline of the dorsal fin?
This is how it starts, you know. This is exactly how it starts.
Well, I think I'm going to paint some eyeballs, too, because I managed to break off my driver's side rearview mirror in the ATM once.
Overrated.
And what my coworkers did is they sneaked into the parking lot one day and screwed on a pickup truck mirror on the outside.
Oh, beautiful.
Well, then recently somebody clipped off the other one while I was double parked, so I put a pickup truck mirror on that side. So I think on the front I'm going to paint eyeballs.
Where do you work anyway? What do you do?
One of the things I do right now is I'm the technical director of the student theater at the University of Chicago.
Aha, hence the styrofoam.
Exactly.
And the silicone.
Exactly.
Well, Dan, send us a picture.
You want me to send you a picture?
Picture. We'll put it on our website.
Do you mind if we put it on the website?
If you don't mind being subjected to national ridicule as opposed to just local.
Put yourself in the picture, too,
sure.
So we can find out how wacky you really are.
See you, Dan.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Hey, look, before we get to the new puzzler, and I know you can't wait, we have to take a short break.
We do? Why? You tired?
No, I'm not tired.
Having a little flare-up?
No flare-up.
You need time for Obfuscate the New Puzzler?
Bingo!
All right, we'll be back with a brand new puzzler in just a minute, or as soon as my brother makes an unintelligible mess of it.
The sunrise is a miracle, but it can't hold a candle to you. The sunrise is a miracle.
but it can't hold a candle to you. Do you remember them rides in my blue car back when it was brand new? Well, it's a good old car, but the clutch is a little loose. Are screaming a song called What's the Use? But it's good for one more trip, one more trip to you.
And even though the NPR fire marshal looks both ways, then quickly pulls the fire alarm whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR. We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Yeah, okay.
And as I promised, this is a return to mediocrity and bogosity and whatever else.
Well, the last one was a tough puzzle.
Well, it was, but you know.
But you have to.
Take the good with the bad.
Yeah.
You had the good, now here's the bad.
If a man's reach does not exceed his grasp, then what's a heaven for?
Exactly.
What the hell was that?
Well, talking about what was that, here's this week's puzzle, which is an automotive puzzler. You know, we have at our shop a Snap-on scan tool. I suppose most shops have such a device. And this scan tool is designed to plug into a plug under the dash or under the hood of a car and extract valuable information
from the computer,
from the car's computer, so that we can misdiagnose the problems.
Right.
So recently we got a new piece of software for our scan tool, and one of my guys had plugged the thing in. And what it does, I mean, sometimes you can go right to what's wrong with the car, but in the absence of that, when it doesn't know right away what's wrong, you look for data points that might be valuable. You look for something that's off. For example, if it says that the engine operating temperature is minus 40 degrees, it might give you some idea that there's something wrong with the coolant temp sensor, for example. So he was scrolling down and looking at all this information, and I was looking over his shoulder, and he, you know, it has the engine operating temperature, it has the ambient air temperature, it tells you what the engine RPM is and all that. And he comes to a thing that says, air pressure low, right front tire. And he says, huh?
Yeah.
So I walk around to the right front tire, and sure enough, the tire is almost flat.
Yeah.
And I say, it's right. And he asks, how does this thing know? And that's the question. How could it know?
Do it know?
Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or on the back of a $20 bill. I thought it was a $21 bill. And send it to Puzzler Tower. Should be a $26 bill. Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. But right now, if you have a question about your car or anything else, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Ruben from Queens.
Hi, Ruben. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Not bad.
Not bad. Are you guys as funny in real life as you are on the radio?
Who's funny? What's funny? We're serious here.
You guys got me laughing all the time.
Well, we laugh all the time, yeah.
That's why.
That's because we're stupid.
Stupid is part of it. You got to be stupid to be funny, right?
What's going on, Ruben?
I got a 95 Toyota Camry, and it only happens when I'm trying to go up a hill, like from a standstill or...
Yeah.
Starting off from a red light, the car engine makes a like a rattling.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't click into gear until I let up on the gas and then start again, and then I can go smoothly.
It's automatic transmission?
Automatic.
And the noise it's making, is it a tick, 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 tick?
It's an engine rattle light. Like something's loose.
Oh, yeah?
Okay.
Can you, are you able, if you tried, to drive it on the highway at like 70 miles an hour?
Yeah, no problem. Once it's going, it's always riding good. It's just at the beginning part.
Is it noticeable even if you're not trying to climb a hill? Is it noticeable on even flat ground if you try to take off fast?
Sometimes on a flat, but not downhill. Never downhill.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, downhill's easy.
Right.
Rocks go downhill well.
Exactly. Downhill I can go. I don't need the car.
Now, when you say you hear this noise, if the noise weren't there, would the car be moving, do you think?
Like it's moving forward, but not at a smooth speed. It's kind of jiggling.
That's what's causing the noise. The fact is that you're trying to get some speed up, and so things are vibrating, and that's what you're hearing. Now you're hearing a noise.
Right. But what is it? Is it a problem or not?
Well, yeah, of course it's a problem. Otherwise, you wouldn't have called.
Do I have to spend a lot of money? I don't trust any mechanics in New York.
I mean, it could be something as simple as a bad engine mount, and that's what I think
it
is.
That's what I think it is, an engine mount.
Because when you try to accelerate hard, if you have a bad motor mount, the engine will actually come up, it'll lift up off the cradle, and then when it reaches the limit where it can't go anymore, it will fall back down again. So you're going to get this bum, 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 bum. And the harder you accelerate, the more pronounced that's going to be. You may find if you really just floor it off the line, it goes right up to the top and doesn't do the bum, 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 but just make one noise, and then you can go. But if it's not affecting the way it performs on the highway, I doubt it's the transmission or anything more serious than a broken mount. And you probably have 140,000 miles in this thing, right?
No, only 110.
Only 110.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you take it to a shop, they'll be able to tell in 2 seconds whether or not the motor mount is gone.
They can tell, but if they can tell me the truth, that's
well, do you
problem.
Have any? Do you have any neighbors that speak to you? Because my brother doesn't.
No,
but...
no neighbors, no mechanics in the whole New York City that I could trust.
Because you could tell by opening the hood.
Yeah, how?
Well, here's how you do it. If you could trust someone in your neighborhood, you would stand outside the car, off to the side. Okay.
So don't stand in front of the car.
So they couldn't run you over.
The neighbor will definitely run me over.
And then that person would put the thing in drive.
With his foot on the brake.
And also set the handbrake and try to accelerate. And then you would see, I believe, the engine jump up.
Can you guys come over and fix it?
Put the coffee on. We'll be there.
I think I'll even give you a Danish with it.
I think there are several mounts on the car, but the most likely one on the Camry is the one right underneath the radiator. And if I'm not mistaken, your year, I think, has a hydraulic mount.
But I'm going to quote you guys as my expert who told me what really is wrong with it, so they can't tell me it's the transmission.
Well, you can also go to our website, you know, cartalk.com, and you can check out something called the mechanics files, where you can find someone in your area that has been recommended by other listeners to
CarTalk. That'd be great, yeah.
Yeah, that also works on Camrys, you know.
But how did you find out that it was doing this on a hill? There aren't any hills in Queens.
In Yonkers.
Ah.
I live in Yonkers. I work in Queens.
Oh, okay. Oh. You're just calling from Queens because you're calling from work.
Yeah.
Got it. All right, get back to work. See you, Ruben.
Good luck, Ruben.
Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mary DiPaolo calling you from picturesque Northville, Michigan.
Hi, Mary.
Northville?
Yes.
Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
What is Northville near?
Ann Arbor.
Okay.
Picturesque Northville, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
So what's up?
I'd like to preface what I'm about to ask you by asking you both if you are familiar with the movie Gaslight.
Of course. Charles Boyer, Ingrid Bergman, and was it Paul-Henri Reed?
I just know Charles Boyer. For those who haven't seen the movie, Gaslight is about this woman who thinks she's going crazy because the lights keep going off and on in her house. Actually, it's not lights. It's old-time...
Gaslights.
Gaslights. And it's her husband who's up in the attic.
Yeah. Wow. Looking for hidden money.
Yeah. Yeah, and he keeps turning things up and down. Who knows what he's
lighting
doing.
The light in the attic. And when he does that, the lights in the bedroom go dim, and he convinces her that she's going wacko.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he gets the money, and he runs away with
So, yes, we do. Yeah, who did he run off with? Cher?
I think so.
Charles Boyer and Cher.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so, yes, we are familiar with Gaslight.
Good. Well, this
is your husband pulling one of these on you?
Yes.
Okay.
The answer is unequivocally yes.
Give us the details.
I'm telling you, this man is something else. He doesn't want me to identify the company that he works for.
Okay.
But let's just say that I've had 6 Mustangs in as many years because of his position.
Okay, gotcha.
Ah.
So he is constantly berating me relative to the way that I drive, park, and deal with the Mustangs.
Yeah.
And so the latest altercation involved the compost.
Yeah.
You know, we have an opportunity to get free compost once a month up and through the month of November. And I asked him the night before the compost was due to be delivered, can I borrow the truck? Sure, no problem. But of course, you know, he went to work in the truck that morning.
Yeah.
So I remember the compost was there. I saw it on the way to the grocery store and thought, oh, there's a compost. I got to get it. Well, not having any buckets or other large containers
you
in the car.
You filled up
with
the
me.
Back seat.
No, the trunk.
The trunk.
The trunk.
Yeah.
Now, 6 weeks, whatever it's been later, because I had to go to New York and, you know, I travel around this and that. He's getting very nervous, and he's saying, you got to get the compost out of the trunk or you're going to ruin it.
It's still in the trunk?
Yeah.
Okay.
How is it going to ruin it?
Doesn't it, like, smell bad?
No.
Wait,
it's
is
nice
it packaged
compost.
Somehow or is it loose compost?
Loose.
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 Mm-hmm.
Now, how are you going to get it out of there?
Shovel.
Yeah, and when you get down to the little crumbs and stuff on the bottom, you're going to just, like, sweep it up and then vacuum it?
No, I thought, is there a hole in the trunk that you can just put it through the hole?
Well, not yet, but I got a feeling there will be.
Well, there might be a hole where the spare tire is.
Oh, there almost always is a drain hole if it has a spare tire well.
Okay, good, because that's what I'll do.
Then you're going to just, like, sweep it into that little well and...
And you can remove the carpet from the trunk.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Which
yeah.
will never be the same.
Well, okay, now why is that?
Well...
Because you got rotting garbage sitting on it.
Well, I don't agree. I mean, it's dirt.
Right.
If you took a shovel full of dirt out of your backyard and threw it in your trunk, you could leave it there probably forever.
Thank you.
In fact, you could look at the trunk of my dart.
Yeah, I rest my case.
I mean, what's it going to do? It's
well,
dirt.
Because the reason that they don't call this dirt, it isn't dirt yet. She didn't have dirt delivered to her trunk.
Compost.
Mary had compost. There is a difference. Compost is an intermediate step.
Oh,
it's
between garbage and dirt.
Garbage and dirt, I believe.
See, not only not being an expert in dirt and compost, but not knowing a single thing about gardening in general, I will have to defer to my brother, who is the world's consummate.
Well, hardly, but I think this is how we differentiate between garbage, dirt, and compost
is in the middle somewhere.
I think it's the middle step. It's on its way. It's wannabe dirt.
Wannabe dirt.
But she
says it doesn't smell at all.
But wait, I'm thinking of keeping it in all winter. You know why?
Wait.
You might as well.
Because the Mustang is so lousy in the snow.
Yeah, that car is the pits. And we live on a downward sloping driveway,
yeah.
And then you got to go up an incline to get out to the end of our dirt road.
Okay, well, Mary, your husband's going to lose his job if you stay on this little subject. so cool it.
Yeah, especially considering that you gave us your last name when you introduced yourself.
Yeah.
And it's pretty clear that the old boy works for Ford, or used to work for Ford.
Yeah.
Well,
so the question is, what is compost? Will it make a mess out of the trunk other than simply getting it dirty? His opinion is it's going to rot things in there. But
yes.
Don't forget, we have carpeting, the rug, which I suppose could be hurt because it's the compost might be moist, and the moistness would probably cause the rugging in the trunk to get what? Yucky.
Decomposed. And you will begin to grow mold on things.
Right.
Like you could never have imagined.
Right. But it's not going to hurt the structural integrity of the car. But you probably are going to have to replace the rugs. If you had put down some plastic bags before you threw that stuff in the trunk. When the guy threw the stuff in the trunk, did he say, "Lady, are you sure you want to do this?"
I threw the stuff in the trunk.
All right. Lady,
don't
are you sure
anyone,
you want to do this?
Didn't they have anyone supervising?
No. Anyone can come along with a Mustang and fill up her trunk with compost, and they don't care.
I'm sure you were the
talk.
You were the talk of the whole place.
Yeah, well, I'm sure.
There were a couple guys that were standing around shaking their heads saying, "Why are you doing this?"
Yeah.
And you just did it. Because it sounded like it was going to be fun.
I would get that stuff out of there as soon as possible. It can't do any good, and it can only do harm. I'd get it out, I'd yank the carpet out of there and have it shampooed or something, maybe burned at the stake. I don't know.
On the other hand, would you not be willing to invest the price of a lousy trunk rug, probably $20,
to find out what happened?
In the interest of science.
Mm-hmm.
It's already been in there for 2 months.
Yeah.
What's another 2 months?
The damage is done, right?
The damage is done. I say leave it there. take it out in March, find out what happened in there, and then you can call us back and we'll know. So the next time someone calls and says, I was thinking of filling my trunk with compost, well, we can say things like, according to the DiPaolo theory, you can leave compost in a trunk for at least 6 months without undue harm.
Yes, I like that idea.
We'll,
yes.
we'll name it after you.
And especially,
and you'll need
you
the you'll need the money that you get from this theorem because your husband's going to be out of work.
But listen, I'm getting the new Mustang in about 6 weeks, so I have to turn this one in.
Oh, you're going to take the compost out of this one and put it in the new one?
No. I'll just leave it in. Let him deal with it over there.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. You know,
then I'll really have a good theory to work
on. Oh, Mary.
Oh, your poor husband, Mary.
Your husband is a saint.
He's a good guy. Yeah,
you bet he is. Thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher. Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Brickford. Our engineer is John Dolly Parotti. Our interns are Ariel Niedermeyer and Michaela Ross. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the London Fog, Spit Roast Hog, Leg of Frog, Pollywog, Quaff of Grog, Chili Dog, Cheese Whiz Log, Chilled Eggnog, Don't Ever Jog, Artery Clog, Dialogue, it's John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our second shift meteorologist is Claudio Vernight. Our windshield wiper replacement team is Ike and Zeke Learley. Our staff orthopedist is Denise Hoyt. Our chief accountant is Candace B. Rittenoff. Our Ralph Cramden impersonator from the Dubai office is Mohammed Ahamada Hamada. Our route planner is Oliver DeMapp. Our pastry chef is Buck Lavar. Our alignment expert is Lou Sagusi. Our appetizer coordinator is Barbara Ganoush. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the toddlers and iPhones in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1153, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, how to know when to pull over immediately.
Other than when you spill hot coffee on your lap, that is.
Yeah, besides that.
My brother and I often get asked, how do I know when it's a real mechanical emergency, when I need to pull over right away rather than just have it looked at when I get a chance?
Fire is a good indicator.
Yeah, no, but not all indicators are quite so obvious. That's why you should check out our list of the top 10 signs that you should pull over right away. You can find them all this week at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Corey Flintoff yells, food fight, in the NPR cafeteria, whatever he hears us say it, this is NPR.